and be changed by it and walk in it, that we can come into a living relationship with the true and living God and not be bound by the works of the flesh, the wild mind, that we might have an open revelation of the mind of Christ, to be transformed in his image and lay down this image that we inherited from Adam, the rebellious image that fights against God and does not conform to or allow him to lead and guide. But right now we renounce the hidden ways of the flesh, that the manifest power of the Spirit might have complete preeminence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Familiar place, Romans 12:1. We'll tie Romans 12:1 back over into 1 Corinthians 2. So look over Romans 12:1, but keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll tie both of them together here in a minute. Romans 12:1 is probably something I quote more than anything else in the Bible. Because basically that's the avenue into salvation. When you come to get saved, what you're really doing, you present your body to God. To tell him, hey, I've used my body all these years outside of salvation, so now I'll present my body back to you for you to use it. So I'm through with it, so you can have it. And you know, most times salvation not being taught to a person and them not understanding what they're doing, they come up and say a sinner's prayer and have no idea that what they just did, they just renounced their own bodies not to have any more control or use for it, that God might take it over. And you know, and I know that majority of folks who claim to be Christians still walk around in control of themselves, doing what they want to do, and then telling everybody that the Lord is doing it. And if you watch the fruit of their endeavors, it tells you whether or not it's God or not. But anyway, you have to lose that life, that mind that's controlled by the old way for you to get to the new way. And that's what the conflict is, laying down of the old in order to get to the new. And the only way to access the new life is to be delivered from the old one. So Romans 12:1 is all about that. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, in other words, because of the mercy that God has shown you, give him your body. If Jesus sacrificed himself up to save you and to deliver you from sin, well, if he saved you, give him your body. I mean, that's what he was offering himself up to save you from the sin nature and the ways of the flesh and the devil. So because he saved you, give him your body. It's a reasonable transaction from God's point of view. If I offered up my son to save you, it's only reasonable that you give me your body. I'm saving you, so give me your body. It's a one-on-one body-for-body transaction, a sacrificed up body to save. From God's perspective, then you sacrificing up a body, me sacrificing up a body for God to live. Jesus died not for just us to live, but he died for him to be able to live through us. But see, if you don't know the transaction, you'll keep on just going about your daily endeavors with kind of a pseudo-intellectual view of God, never coming into terms of what really happened to you and what you're really supposed to be like after the deal is over. So you can mentally ascend to a lot of things out of the Bible, but never have it. And I say that a whole lot, but still, the process continues in most minds to mentally ascend to God and not come to him. Basically, the cause for people mentally ascending to God, they don't take God seriously. You know, you can't take God seriously as long as you're outwardly focused. It's impossible. You'll always have God like on the back burner while you go about to accomplish your daily task. You can sit around the gospel from now until you drop dead and still never hear one thing that's told to you. All because the carnal mind cannot hear it. It's designed. God designed it like that, as a matter of fact. So in essence, what he does, he keeps a particular kind of a human being away from him. So God, everybody wants to be around God, and everybody wants to claim to be saved and claim to know God and claim to be a anointed vessel of God. But there are certain people that God pushes back from him, and he doesn't have to try to push them back just by presenting himself, he automatically will separate those who are in away from those who are out. So he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just reasonable. I'm just asking you something that's just evidently, plainly reasonable. I'm not even getting deep with you yet. I'm just telling you to give him your body. I didn't talk about you walking on water and you casting out devils and you laying hands on the sick and raising the dead and calling down fire from heaven. All I'm asking you to do is just give him the body. See, immediately that person's mind will go way down the street somewhere. You just look, don't think about all that. Don't look around. Don't ask questions. Don't analyze. Just give him your body. And see, I told a guy that today. And his response was something like, I'm not ready to do that yet. And I told him, well, see, your problem is you're afraid, man. He said, you know what? My problem is I'm afraid. You're right. Because if I do what you say, I don't know what's going to happen to me. And that's what's holding everybody back. Trying to grab a hold of something that looks more secure than giving your body to God. But that'll deceive you every time. And people are just grasping for straws, looking for something to grab a hold of to have a reason not to give their body to God. So you can find a lot of excuses out here as for why you don't change. But there's no acceptable excuse for you not changing. Because it's individual. I don't care what anybody else does. You can change personally. So why keep on debating and discussing what's going on outside of you when you can change yourself? See, but it's all a game. It's a head game. People play with themselves. They try to look around and come with all these reasons externally why they don't change. That's why, you know, you never let a person put you in that bag when ministering to them about what you did, what you said. See, I tell them all the time, if I did not say it, well, you change. You get right. See how stupid it is? If I'm doing everything wrong and he's doing everything wrong, she's doing everything wrong, okay, you get right and do everything right then. And then see what will happen is God will endow you with power. You go forward and preach the gospel. What's the problem? I don't see what's the holdup. If everybody in this room was doing everything wrong and you're doing what's right, God would just take you by the hand and lead you on. He's not looking, God is not a respected person, the Bible says. So knowing that God is not a respecter of persons, let me ask you a question. If God has no caring or feeling for your race, your ethnic background, your education, your academic abilities, your ability to talk, how you look, how much money you have, how poor you are, he's no respecter of persons. He sees everybody in the same light. Does God treat everybody the same? Huh? Why not?
I think the fact of who, if you really truly want God, to show that particular favoritism to you as far as obedient child, disobedient.
Right.
No matter who it is.
Okay, and not only that, that's it. You know, he deals with people based on how much they allow him to. But the thing that makes the difference, I'm going to show you now, the scripture, what determines if you're an obedient child versus a disobedient child. Now he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. Now everything he's saying here now, is you can change all of the generic speech in this scripture and just change it to applying to just me, talking to you. At this particular time, I tell people all the time, God only deals with you. He don't deal with other people. So if he just deals with you, why look around anybody else? He's only talking to you. Yeah, but what? I was talking to the same guy that he came up talking about. Well, what about preachers who tell people stuff and then they be trying to deceive them? I said, well, forget them. What about you? Why don't you get right? And it's a common escape mechanism. They begin to talk about other folks to get out of your own responsibility. It's nothing but trying to avoid your own presentation of your own body. And the devil's been using this thing here for years. A way to get away from me not doing what I'm supposed to do is by looking around at Steve, Velma, Rochelle. Now, don't try to play that game with God. Everybody in the world could be wrong, but if you get right, he'll deal with just you. Individual. I end every message. It's an individual affair. It's an individual affair. It's an individual affair. But when you get people who are out here in the religious world trying to avoid crucified life, trying to avoid that cross, oh man, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off trying to find some kind of way to get everybody to be conscious of the external. And I'll show you why it's a normal reaction to the people who don't want to die. Saying, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's all individual. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. That's why you get two people get saved at the same day, same day, same place, same time. One was skyrocketing to the ozone with God. One 10 years later will be trying to figure out what in the world is going on still. Why? The response. You can have two people sit right beside each other in church. One would take off to the stars. Another one would sit there just as lost as a ball in high weeds. All based on this transaction I'm about to show you out of the Bible. Remember, it's all based on you and how much you want in this thing. That's why I said I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. You can have two people, same household, one go off into glory land with God, the other one sitting there trying to hold the other one up from going. All right, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, he says this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The wisdom of God is spoken in a mystery. It's hidden wisdom, letting you know that everybody can't see it. See, it's nothing worse than somebody who does not know God trying to explain God. That's an ugly thing, man, to not know a person yet be trying to represent him. Because everything you're going to be trying to represent to a person is going to be totally deluded. You're going to be out of your mind trying to represent somebody you don't even know. And you can't get to know God overnight or in a couple of weeks or in a couple of days. God is a vast being with a tremendous amount of history behind his name and a long-standing life that we have to try to get an inkling of, that we can begin to try to get some little nugget of understanding about him. But people jump up as overnight wonders thinking, well, let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you. You can't know God overnight like this. People been around this thing for 50 years and still just trying to figure things out. Now watch this. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither having entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The things of God know of no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now watch, this here's the blockage right here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now here's where you'll pick up the contention and the different flow patterns in church life. spiritual man can judge, but nobody can judge him. The natural man can't even see to know where the front door is. So here you have two kinds of beings in one environment, one not able to understand the other. So you get all kinds of hell breaking loose because you have people natural and people spiritual growing up together. These are wheat and tares coming together, natural and spiritual. Remember, the natural soulish man is a different kind of a life. We have to understand that we're talking about two kinds of different organisms. It's like a dog trying to understand a bear. See, a dog cannot correspond with a bear because they're two different kinds of organisms, two different kinds of living creatures. Bears hibernate in winters, in the wintertime. Dogs don't. A dog won't respond the same as a bear would in any given circumstance. They're two different kinds of life. The natural man is one kind of life. The spiritual man is another. The two can't relate to each other. Flesh will war against spirit, spirit against flesh. So if you got a natural man and a spiritual man in any given environment, one cannot relate to the other. And what I'm saying is this. What you have is, in that environment, and what you'll find happening every time, is that the spiritual man will be able to see the natural man and know him. But the natural man can't see the spiritual man and know him. Because the spiritual man is the one that's yoked to God. The natural man is just trying to figure out God. It's like God in a test tube trying to examine him and figure out what he's talking about. Not being in the inner recesses and the inner being of God. He just said, who knows the things of a man but the spirit of man that's in him? Same way, nobody could know the things of the spirit of God unless they're in God. You got to be knowing God from the inside out. As long as your natural mind is examining, you're going to be open to a delusion. And as soon as some deceptive nut comes along, you're going to go falling behind the nut with your natural mind ablaze, thinking, I got the truth. I finally see it. So praise the Lord. And you and the nut going right off of the cliff because you're following a natural-minded person who's dealing with their senses and not with the spirit. Now, here's where you get the mix up. The natural mind is a soulish mind. I teach it all the time, but I keep on reinforcing it so it'll finally break through some of the clutter in folks' minds because people's minds are so messed up, you got to keep telling the same thing about 50 times for them to understand it. The natural mind is a mind controlled by the senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. Now, I've said this, I know, 20 times, but I'll say it the 21st time to try to saw through one more time. We'll try to saw through. We'll try to keep pushing the saw across the wood until finally the saw cuts through the wood. Now, mind engaged to the five carnal senses. All that man can do is see from the outside in. So that means my five carnal senses are dictating to my mind, and I'm being controlled by the region of darkness because it's the ability to see things. And it's like you're looking at a magician because the devil is a sleight of hand artist. He'll make you see this, but really it didn't happen. So if your senses are dictating to you, you're going to be messed up. You know how magicians work? They'll do sleight of hand tricks and say, how did he do that? I saw him put all that stuff in that hat, all that water and milk, and then pull the rabbit out. How is that possible? You know, these guys are something else, ain't they? And you're sitting there thinking, he a magician. But all he did was distract you over here so he can do a little something over there and this, that, and the other. That's how the devil works. He distracts and manipulates and does things to your mind to make you believe a lie. Now, as long as you're natural, better interpretation of the word natural is soulish. In other words, your soul rules. A normal person, when God created him, was spirit-dominated. Soul was engaged and led by the spirit, and the spirit and the soul together controlled the body. Spirit man had preeminence with the soul and the body as a servant. That's the normal, created, Adamic creation that God created. Now look at this now. God created a spirit-driven, spirit-led man, an air-led creation, a pneumatic man, a spirit-driven man. His spirit was empowered to drive him. Everything that Adam did, it was spirit-driven. God's spirit anchored to Adam's spirit, spirit-driven. He understood everything. He could name all these animals, not even missing a beat, because his mind was like a big computer running. Because God's spirit was empowering his spirit and yoked to his mind was just like God's mind. When God was thinking, he was thinking. He knew all kinds of mysteries, all kinds of deep things. His mind was just running. It's just, he was just a power-driven man. I believe Adam had the ability to speak and things would happen. Because we're given the same power back to us when we receive Jesus. Jesus is basically the reimpartation of the Adamic nature before the fall. It's the way we should have been if Adam had never fallen. So here we have it. Adam, pneumatically driven, air powered by his spirit. When he fell, what happened was God disengaged from his spirit. Adam lost the consciousness of God and his spirit, so he lost the consciousness of his own spirit. The thing that made him conscious of his spirit was God's presence emanating from his spirit. When God departed, his spirit, basically the light went out in it. So now he's not conscious of his spirit now. And his mind shifts looking for security because he's been orphaned. It's just like what happens when your daddy walk away from you. Not having a daddy, you search for an identity. You know how many people live like that? That's why they're so easily deceived, because they're looking for an identity. Looking for something to belong to, somebody to trust in, outwardly focused, looking. When you can't find that then on the outside of you, you're going to be deceived like that. So here they have, you have people looking for an identity on the outside, spirit man dead because it's disengaged from God. Now, Adam fell into his senses, disengaged from God, looking for an identity. The devil gave him one. You're a God. So you don't need, whatever that was you had in your spirit, forget that. You're a God, man. So what? Become conscious of yourself. Don't be conscious of your spirit. Just be conscious of you. And you know, to this very day, that's what bends the gospel and perverts it in the ears of people. They're conscious of themselves, so they can't ever receive the engrafted word that's able to save their souls, because everything that comes into their mind, that perverted spirit takes it and bends it like a crowbar, and they receive it perverted and crooked. And then when they regurgitate it back up, you wonder, were you in the same lesson I was in? Did you hear the same sermon I heard? Well, yeah. And see, that's why I'm telling you. See, this is what happened when I was there. This is what went down. See, and it'd be just as wrong. And you try to wonder this that was said. And there's only one answer when you get a perverted analysis from something that was not said in a way to pervert you, is that the natural mind has taken a hold of it, and it's making it you internally focused still, externally focused still, so you can't analyze it inwardly. The spirit man can't analyze it. The soulish man is still living heavy. Now, so what happens is the word comes. The word will either draw you or it will drive you based on if you're natural or if you're spiritual. See, the only thing that a person teaching the Bible or preaching the Bible cannot control is whether or not the person listening to what's being taught has spent time with God. If you haven't spent time with God, I guarantee you that the Bible is being told to your natural mind and you can't understand it. You can shake your head, yeah, to it, or yeah, 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 but it's not getting in. It's just you getting a few goosebumps because you heard something said that you read the other day. But if your mind is still natural, it's going to slough off of you just like sweat off of a hog when you leave out from around it. Why? Because the natural mind cannot process it. Remember, there are four instances the Bible says where the sower sowed the word. 75% of any given group of people don't receive it. 75%. If you got 100 people, 75% don't receive it. If it's 10, about 7 out of 10, 7 to 8 out of 10 don't receive it. It's a rare thing for a person to be able to take the word and walk in it. That's rare, man. Just very few people. It's a straight and narrow way. Few there be that find it. Why? Because people don't take the time to spend their personal time with God to get the mind transformed and have it fallow and broken up enough for when the word to come, it doesn't sit on the surface. It drops down into them and begins to transform and help and edify and build up. Most folks sit up in front of the Bible brain dead. While they're sitting there thinking, I got it. I talked to a guy today. I quoted all I did to the guy or with the guy. He was talking a bunch of religious gobbledygook. I just kept telling him, but the Bible says this. The Bible says this. The Bible, he can hear anything I was saying. Because in his proud, opinionated mind, he already knew. Do you see what I'm saying? I already know what I know. So everything you're saying is falling on deaf ears. Whenever you get somebody like that, they're basically helpless. You can't do anything for them. Folks who have already arrived at Canada, in Toronto, in the Toronto airport, why would you need to get a plane ticket to Canada? If you're already sitting in the Toronto airport, you'd be a fool to go up to the counter and say, look, can I get a ticket to Toronto, please? They're going to look at you like, what? Around that fool. You're in Toronto, ain't you? You go down there to a Hartsfield and say, look, I like two passes, first class air, to Atlanta, please. Now, I know. Somebody gonna believe. Somebody gonna believe. Yes, sir, we'll be right with you. Get to believe. Get to believe. Why? Because they know you crazy. So why sit them in front of the word if you already know it and act like you're learning it? You're already there. The evidence that you're not there, the fact that God got you sitting somewhere being taught it. You see, I'm trying to cut through. I'm sawing, I'm trying to saw a piece of wood. And I'll keep on stroking this saw, and sooner or later, we're going to cut through. And we keep on stroking that saw. So the evidence that you don't know is you're being taught. But here's what happens to folk. They'll get letter, the word, whether it be written, spoken, don't even matter. And the reason why they don't get the fullness of it is they never get delivered. They never go through deliverance services. They never get demons cast out of them. They never get the soul cleansed. So they sit up there, the word, and they twist in their mind, and they go trudging off thinking, well, I got it, but I got it. I got another thing. I see it another way. The Lord done showed me some. The Lord showed me some, and thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And this thing know that they are crazy over there somewhere in East Germany somewhere, part of a Mooney's cult or something. Because the natural mind did not disunite itself from the soulish arena and the world at large. That's why it says don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, soulish man, mind engaged to his senses, sitting in front of the Bible. That's the most dangerous place you could be in your life. Because what's going to happen is, if you split this room down the middle, let's say the right-hand side is spiritual, broken, contrite, humble, meek, seeking God to get a personal relationship with God for me. I don't know what the rest of y'all doing. I don't even care. I don't care if I never see y'all again in life. I'm in here to get a personal revelation of God for me, to change me, to go on and see the glory and works of God done in my life. That's my purpose. Now, they're going to be transformed. Other side of the room, in there trying to analyze everybody else, find out the flaws with everybody else, figuring out what's going on, looking around. You're going to find that in any given church, you're going to get what I call a flocking mechanism. Or what's a flocking mechanism? It's what birds do. They begin to flock together. Carnality flocks with carnality. Spirituality flocks with spirituality. And basically, the way you can tell spiritual folks is, they basically just stay neutral about everybody. They could be in a place or not be in a place. You have a gathering. If they can come, they come. If they don't, they don't. You know, there's no, never a drive in them. It's like somebody knocked the wind out of them. But folks who always just at a fever pitch trying to do, trying to go, trying to perform, that's the basic element of carnality. The human is always working to try. The spiritual person is always naturally doing what's done from a change that's being wrought by the Spirit of God. No effort. There are works, but it's the works done and generated by the Spirit. It's not the works of the flesh, the sweaty. See, the effort of the flesh is always sweaty. Trying, pulling the ball up a hill on your back, you know, about to kill yourself. Because, see, it's just human effort. So when that soulish man is driving you and those five senses are leading you, you're basically just out here analyzing something that you are not able to analyze and coming up with a diluted form of it. Now, the spirit man can only be leading you to the degree that the word fills you. See, if you notice Jesus, this is the interaction he had with the devil. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Jesus didn't say, well, in my opinion, and looking at the situation, devil, there's really no reason why. I mean, I can change the stones into bread if necessary. But in my evaluation of the situation, I don't really believe that it's necessary for me to change these stones into bread. He didn't say that. What did he say? It is written. Now, you didn't see him standing with a Bible reading it, did you? How did he know what was written? Huh? How did he get in it? Where did he read it? A Bible. What, did he read in Hebrews? Huh? What chapter did he read in? Huh? What's that? What's that be? Okay, well, how'd it get there? She said he read it in the Bible. I said, what book did it come out? Hebrews, Galatians, what? You know. They had the Old Testament, right? He read it in the Old Testament. The first 30 years of Jesus' life, he was there studying the Torah, the Old Testament laws. He became, that's why they told Jesus, Rabboni. You know what they call Rabboni? Know what that means? It don't just mean teacher. Rabbi is teacher. Rabboni is master instructor. Why? They knew he had that word in him like a Gatling gun. When he went into the synagogue to teach, everybody just did this right here. And you know what the people said? And nobody's ever spoken on this wise. He speaks as one that has authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm going to tell you why he spoke as one that had authority and he left everybody mesmerized. It's a big difference between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Big difference that made his words come through with authority while theirs just kind of trickled through like somebody tiptoeing through tulips. But anyway, Jesus was a master instructor because for 30 years he disciplined himself under the word. So when the devil spoke to him, he was talking to a living manifestation of the word of God that had been ingrained in his heart through the discipline of study and making that word right into him. So when the devil said something, he spoke back from the written word of God, made alive by his submission to it, fasting, prayer, and baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's how you get living word, not dead letter. But look at this. Now I'm going to show you now how something, if it seems like this makes no difference now, but it's paramount as far as you having a transformed spiritual mind versus a carnal, soulish mind. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What's the big deal? I mean, they won't send you to hell. Just turn the stones into bread. Now, that's the natural mind. You see what I'm saying? It was just
do it. You know, you can do it, can't you? That's the natural mind now. This is how people act to this very day. Well, why don't you all? Because I ain't doing that. And they're still trying to figure out. Well, it's evident. Common sense dictates. We ain't dealing with common sense. You a natural person trying to still figure it out. Now, they're the stones all right there. It ain't no big deal. Stack of stones, stack of bread. So what? But what's the problem? Why did he say, no, I ain't doing it? Huh? But it's still neutral, you know. It's something even more important than that. If he performed for the devil, what would have happened?
The devil would have said, I can make you submit to me.
The devil would become his master. As soon as you perform for somebody else, that person will master you. Don't you know if I pastor this church now begin to perform for people, that person now becomes my master? Every time I come in the room, I got to make sure I ain't saying nothing to offend them. And I'm going to lock up then. And you're going to see me being you're going to see the message coming from that person sitting right there, not me. Because I'm looking at them, see, and when they say, so I say, oh, yeah, I'm all right then. Then they look at me like, well, I get self-conscious trying to fix it up because they don't like it. That's why you can't be led from down here in your senses. If you do that, God won't respect you. That's why Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil didn't just say, well, okay, well, I just leave you alone. I just ask you. I see you. He went to the next phase. Said, look, up off of the temple, because he heard him quote the word of God, right? I said, oh, you go by the word, huh? You're right. Thou hast well said, Master. Thou hast said, Rabboni. Thou hast well said. Well spoken. That is the Bible, yes. That's the scripture, Holy Writ. I believe the Holy Writ also. I am also saved, thou Master of Israel. I am a rabbi just like thee. We are on the same level. That's where the devil comes. All of us are saved. See, we saved, me and you saved, right? You live by the word, right? Okay, then. Throw yourself off of this temple because it is written. He shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou should dash thy foot upon a stone. And I know you're a word guy now. See, we have to change it up. Still the natural mind. Say, it is written, thou should not tempt the Lord thy God. See, this is why you can't even tell what's going on with your natural mind, because it'll all sound right. If you're sitting there, brain dead in your natural mind, somebody gonna come to you and tell you, you know what? You know, this right here like this, and you know, in the Bible it said we all show each other love. Don't the Bible say we should love each other? Don't the Bible say that? Now, when he up there preaching, do that, you think that love, why he be talking? Huh, do you?
Yeah, that's wild.
Why you say that?
Why? The truth.
But man, still, you feel love when that thing be hitting you and all that hard talking and stuff, that love? Huh? Come on, man. Man, I love you, man. I love you, man, look. I care about you. I'm concerned about your soul, man. I can't. Look, I don't want nobody to go to hell, man. I love you, man. I love you. No, you cannot have my Bud Light. But that's the same deal. What's the guy with the Bud Light trying to do? Dad. I love you, Dad. No, Johnny. You cannot have my Bud Light. Because the dude had an ulterior motive. When folks start stroking you, but if they don't love you, they got a game they whipping on you. So why you know why I preach like I preach? They get them kind of Negroes out from around me. Because they ain't about nothing. They're just somewhere trying to whip a game, trying to get what they want out of folk. Instead of their life, they ain't nothing but a bunch of old drags trying to live off the land. That's all they're there for. You come hard. It'll separate the wheat from the tares. If you can take it, you getting disciplined to walk with God. If you can't take it because you're a rebel and don't want to walk with him anyway. And then they'll come and pray on the weak folks. You know, this can't be love. Can it? And then if you sold it yourself, yeah, I was sitting there thinking that too. You know what? I see now. I see. Yeah, you see. You see your way right into that ditch they're leading you into, because that's where you hit it. Let me tell you something. You will never get a rebel to rebel alone. A rebel always got to rebel in a pack. If you a man or woman and you walk with God and you got the truth, go on, walk with him. Well, I don't need to hold your hand to walk with God. I'm going to walk by myself. Telling y'all this because it's going to stir up heavy and you better be ready. You got to know who you know, not what you know. You better know what you know, you're going to be deceived, because it ain't what you know, it's who you know. You better know God for yourself. Because if I know you want something in the world, if you got your heart in the world, you know what the devil going to do to you? You got something you want real bad, right? I come and preach against it. You know what the devil going to do? He going to see the desire in your heart and say, look, don't take all that. No, now. Because what he ministering to? What is he ministering to right now? What's he stroking on?
That hidden motive desire.
Which is what? It's an idol. He see the idol in you. And he know every idolater is always going to go for the soulless stroking. So I'll stroke you because of the idolatry. Don't love you. I'm trying to get you to come with me. That's all the devil was doing to Jesus when he tempted him. Last temptation was what? He ain't go for the word. Let me just come to you like this, Jesus. See all this right here? Look at all that. It's billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. I'll give that to you. But you must bow down and worship me. And guess what? He tried to do that all three times. Every time he said it was to bow down and worship him, but he just came straight the last time and said, look, I want you to bow your knees right here in front of me and worship me. Every other time he had done anything in response to the devil, he's been bowing down and worshiping him. That's what he's looking for, worship. What do people want from you when they come to you soulishly? They want you to worship them. That's what they want. They want you to bow down to the thing in their hearts. People pack demons. If you bow to that demon, you're bowing to the devil. That's why when I look at him and tell him, no. And he said, well, you ain't right. You crazy. No, I ain't bowing down to that mess inside of you. Here you are demonized, led by the devil, and you want me to go along with that? Ain't no way. And that's where you got to get. You got to make this word the only thing you walk in. And that's why it's an individual affair. As long as you got some old game you trying to run somewhere, the devil will come and stroke the game. How con man work? Con man don't con people until you see a game in you. Stroke you. You don't believe this? You just keep watching. You'll see it unfold. Now, what's the catalyst behind all of this? Why is one person natural and one person spiritual? It's because one person, like I always say it, one person is matriarchal. One person is patriarchal. See, if you're a woman and you become patriarchal where you honor God as a father, you will have no problem with God because you'll be able to take the discipline of God and not flinch. But if you're a woman and you have a man's heart in you, a man's soul, you will hate the discipline of God because he is operating in the place that you want to operate in. You want the authority that God has. So I'm going to destroy every image of God I see until I get the power myself. A man, on the other hand, will begin to cower down
at a patriarchal anointing, because then it's going to make me responsible and accountable myself, and I'm used to my mama's skirt tail. That's where the thing is being fought out. Why is it that a natural mind, a soulish mind, why is it matriarchal, and why is a spiritual mind patriarchal? It's simple. This thing is all about the image that's being born out inside of you. God created Adam and Eve, male and female, male man with a male soul and a male spirit in a male body. That's what God created. Female spirit, female soul, female body. I know that there's no gender in the spirit, but in when you relate to your soul as a female, you're going to feel a female. Softness, tenderness, meekness, sobriety, virtue. That's because that's what you were created to be while you're down here in this body. That's what God made. If he looks at you and sees another image there, he won't relate to that because I didn't make that. Why should I relate to something I didn't make? That's the devil's perverted mess, resculptured from what I made. The devil cannot create. The devil can only pervert. So if your soul is perverted, your mind will be soulish because your mind is pointed worldly downward into your senses. When you are spiritual, your mind has been recalibrated upward so that now God is your headship because you're facing upward and not downward. God comes into your spirit standing up like a natural man. He wants to speak to you how the Bible says, face to face. If your head is down and his face is up, he's not going to talk to your feet. And furthermore, if he talk to your feet, you can't hear him because your feet don't have ears on them. When your soul becomes righted and God can speak to you face to face, your body will operate in a normal mechanism. Again, here's where you get the controversy. If I'm in the natural realm with my senses leading me, anybody that's spiritual will be a total enigma to me. They'll be strange, foreign to me. I can't even understand them. I can't figure them out. I don't even know where they're coming from. I can sit up and try to fake like I understand it, but I really don't understand it because my soul is upside down. Here I am looking from the upside down situation up at them, trying to figure out what in the world are you talking about. You can't do it until you turn around face to face. See, if you read Romans chapter 1, every corresponding element that makes up a perverted soul is signified by a sexual perversion. Read it and watch the parallels. Uncleanness, vile affections, reprobate mind. And so you can feel the insides of a person if you walk in the spirit. You don't have to be deep. All you have to do is have your mind transformed. And you'll know what's going on around you at all times. And a perverted heart won't know that you know because it can't even understand what's going on itself. But when a spirit is draped on a person, that person's whole character changes. You ain't acting the same when you're under the influence of a spirit because it's taking your mind over. And you walk around acting all crazy and blare-eyed and weird, and you don't even see that that thing got a hold of you. You know, you can't fool around with carnal people. Carnal people will pervert you. You know what the Bible says, don't you? You know what the Bible says about evil communication? They corrupt good manners. They're going to corrupt you. But see, that ain't the problem. The person talking to you is not the problem. You know what the problem is, don't you? The problem is what's wrong with you that you listen to it. That's the problem. I keep telling folks. I told somebody the other week. He told me, like I told y'all last week in Bible study, keep telling you, well, Pastor Pride is. And I said, look, it's impossible for me to be anybody's problem. Because in the New Testament, Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters that are freely given. I can't be a problem. All I do is bypass me and get the anointing and go with God. What's stopping you? See, it's impossible for anybody to be your problem. You can walk with God as far as you want to walk with him. You can go as far as you want to with God. No holds barred. As far as you want to take it, as deep as you want to go, you can go. So don't get fooled now to believe that there's a barrier. There is no barrier. The only barrier you have is self-imposed. The natural mind and the spiritual mind cannot coexist together. What is happening right now in the world at large, in the body of Christ, etc.? You're seeing God begin to make the final move to cull and separate. I'm a preacher message Sunday night at that church I'm going to visit called The Return of Elijah. Elijah comes to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. What's happening right now? Everybody that will yield to God is having their heart turned back to the fathers, back to a patriarchal anointing so that they might know him in spirit and in truth. But at the same time, Jezebel is emotionally stroking people to keep them matriarchal. And you're going to be able to tell real fast now who's in and who's out. Those who are outside the kingdom will go for the matriarchal stroking. They will turn toward the effeminacy. You have to tell this thing straight as a commander with a patriarchal anointing to separate away from you those who are matriarchal. That's all the Marines do in boot camp. You know the Marines call out of boot camp? The matriarchal people. They come and get in your face and spit all over you and curse you like a dog and run you from sun up to sundown so that those that don't have a heart to finish the race will drop out. They want them to drop out. That's the same way God does it. You don't believe that? All you have to do is study one individual. Gideon. Took a standing group of people out, says, everybody's afraid, you go back. 10,000 people. That's the first group to leave. The fearful. The fearful to get out from around you fast, man. They're going to hit the road. Don't worry about them. The fearful going to run. So as you start getting into a bloodletting battle, when they see all hell about to break out, the devil's training his sights on you, the fearful will dodge it. They'll get out. But there's a group that will stay with you that has to be dealt with now, because these people are not afraid, but they're worse than afraid. You know what the next group is? Huh? The proud. That's nastier than the fearful. So what's the next thing he told them to do? He said, kneel down here on all fours and lap up the water like a dog. I ain't getting down there and dropping no water. I walk out in with y'all and fight, but I ain't lapping up no water. So he called it on down. See, I'm looking at people now. You know what's wrong with them? It's a simple thing to see, y'all. If you know the Bible and you know how the Bible interacts in the inner man with you, it's only one thing that got people messed up that's left around the church parameters right now. You know what it is? Now, I say it's pride, but how is it coming forth through the person? Self-righteousness. And they'll make you believe that they're concerned about the people. They ain't concerned about nobody. They're just self-righteous. They want you to believe, I'm way up here in God. I see. And see, what I see is, you know, God wants us to be like this because we're so self-righteous. We're so holy. They don't even understand anything and about being perfect on the outside. It's about you breaking down on the inside and letting God live through you. There's a lot of things that a self-righteous person won't believe God will do that he will do. You see what I'm saying? Well, no, that can't be God. That's because you're self-righteous. God would do a lot of things. Surely God wouldn't be washing Velma's feet. That can't be the Messiah. Self-righteous. A lot of things Jesus did. Self-righteous folk.
You're drinking and eating with sinners and publicans and whores, and surely that's not God. God loves to confound a self-righteous person because they're thinking way up here. When God, the Bible says God doesn't dwell with the high mind. He dwells with the lowly, the meek and lowly. That's why the Spirit will modify you in different occasions and different places based on what the need is. That's why nobody can put an anchor on you and tell you, act like this. Because he'll modify you. As soon as you try to put him in a box and say, this is how God is, next thing you know, the next time you see the person, they're doing something else. And you try to fix, they call them out, so they try to fix. Now, I know that ain't the Lord. Because you cannot understand it from the outside. You got to be in the inside with the Spirit to understand it. I'm telling you, the devil has been doing this stuff for ages. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, thousands of years ago, the devil been doing the same thing. Carnal minds jump in and think in a few years they can figure it out. I told the same guy today, I said, look, man, you talking all this gibberish you talking? Let me tell you something, man. You don't understand the devil, man. You fooling around the devil will destroy you. You think all this gospel preaching and all this stuff about the gospel and the Bible is something to play with. When the devil get through with you and your household, you won't have anything left there standing. You will be finished. I'm talking about wiped out. When the devil come through, he comes through to steal, kill, and destroy. See, if you never seen the devil destroy a person, I can show you some instances where it's happened. I can show you the person's life after he got through with it. The devil don't fool around with people. And what happens to a person, the more you're given, to whom much is given, much is required. The more you're taught, the more you better change. Because if you don't change, guess what? He's going to come and find out what the soulless mind is, the natural mind is in you, and destroy you, your kids, and everything about you. While you come to fool thinking it's all just, well, you see it like this, I see it like this, you know, tomato, tomato. No, it ain't no tomato, tomato in this thing, buddy. You better know the man. You better know Jesus for yourself, because the devil is checking folks out. You know, I can't keep putting my fingers in dikes all over town, you know. Hole break out over here, you try to plug it with your finger. You know, you just got so many toes and fingers out the wire, man. Hey, the damn about to give. I got to get out of here. I get myself killed trying to plug this thing up. See, people's lives are leaking. And what's going to happen is that devil man, he told Peter, Satan has desired you. In other words, Satan got a deep longing for you. He looking for you, Peter. It wasn't no thing where the devil was helter skelter. He told Peter, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. In other words, I'm praying that you stay locked on me when the devil attacking you. He didn't say, the devil desired to sift your wheat and I'm going to stop him. He didn't say that. Look here. The devil is allowed to test everybody to see if you have what you say you have. Don't sit up under the word, don't hang around the word if you don't mean business, because the devil going to come test you. 8:30, I'll say this and I'll wrap it up. Guy called me last night. I missed him because I was gone somewhere. He left a message on the answering service. I didn't get it. He called me back last night late. Said, Pastor Pryor, you ain't gonna believe what happened to me, man. I said, what? I was calling the guy on the phone. I dialed a number, and his voice came on. So he said, I am Satan. I'm going to kill you. You MF, you DMF, you are. Blah, blah. So he started cursing. I said, well, maybe my friend just kidding around. He said, but the thing kept on talking. He said, what is this? He started pleading the blood of Jesus over the phone, and the thing got just irate on the phone. So he hung the phone up. You know, he kind of shook up. What? So he looked at the phone and he hit a speaker button. Saying, you MF, I'm going to kill you. I'll take you to hell with me. I'll take you to hell with me. He hung up again. man, so they say he called California to one of a person, intercessor for them, and said, look, y'all, this is what just happened to him. He said, look, that's real, man. Let's pray right now, because you get into an arena that you got, the devil don't want you in. So they prayed together, bound that spirit, etc. So then he called me and said, you know, when it happened, Pastor, I tried to call you. I said, hey, man, sometimes you can't be able to get in touch with nobody. What you going to do when the devil in your room at night and it's just you? See, while people are cutting the fool and acting crazy, what about when the devil really comes see you and you cutting the fool at that particular time? And there you are, crazy, and the devil standing right there in front of you, telling you what he about to do to you. And you were, man, I done talked about folk. I done been involved in all these conversations. I've been gossiping. I've been, man,
did you try to drop? Lord, I repent. I repent. And the devil look at you like,
No, I got you. I got you right where I want you. That might seem unreal to you, but the devil sits up in people at any given time, inopportune time, when you least expect him, there he is. I'm telling you, you got to live your life tight, because we get ready to go into a realm. I say it all the time, people still don't believe it. They still think I'm just talking. We're going into a realm where there ain't going to be no joking around, man. It's going to be the real thing. All this church stuff, you say, this just real, this just joke stuff. This just play. Prosperity and folk riding around these big cars and laying hands on folks and blabbering off in tongues. That's play, poo-poo church. We're going into the realm where the thing going to get real. You know how real it is when the thing really comes out and the devil really shows up and people are just sitting there thinking, what we going to do? What we going to do? See, you can't afford to be thinking what you're going to do. You got to be on automatic response when the devil come around. If you thinking while the devil comes around, you already doomed, because you're not on automatic. If your call of mind is racing, that's the sign that you better run. Don't try to cast him out. Don't try to bind him. Run. Because your mind is kicking in. When God is operating, you know your mind will drop out and you'll be on automatic. But when your mind is thinking, trying to think of what to say, trying to remember a scripture, take them side nine and run, because he's going to kill you. I'm telling you, it's by nature, not by effort. If you listen to them people stroking your back telling you, the law, you better get all that law stuff and get in that Bible for yourself and find out about what's going on for yourself and stop trying to hang on to folks. Another thing, like I told B today, we talked about going and visiting the church. I said, people going to go and visit a church, but I don't know anything about that place, you know. So, you know, we had to go in there and just find out how it is. I ain't no telling what's over there. It could be all kinds of stuff, but I just go in and drop off the message and let the chips fall where they may, you know, just offload, and if it blow up, it blow up. Your B said, yeah, that's right. What you better do, put on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod the gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, sword of spirit, shield of faith. Man, just gird it with that armor. It's gone in there. I said, B, you know what? All that stuff right there is good if you fight the devil. But for them Negroes, I need a handgun and a bulletproof vest. See, that's good. What you just named, I need that for the demons and the devil. That's good. You know, that's spiritual. That's spiritual armor. But for these Negroes in front of me, I need a handgun, a bulletproof vest, and a machete. You got one at home I can use? Now, what am I saying? This is what I'm saying. Don't over-spiritualize things you think you're just dealing with the devil. Because folks serve the devil. So sometimes you got to tell a person, look, you back off of me. Not no devil, not no demon, you back off of me. Well, I didn't thank you. No, I don't care what you thought. You back off of me, man, because I ain't playing. Because I'm going to tell you that every tongue that rises against me, I condemn, buddy. Every tongue that comes against me in judgment, that's my inheritance. Now, before you start talking, you better know that you know that you know what you're talking about. Because I walk in this thing, and whatever is not right, and I'm walking in God's righteousness, they come under condemnation. You better know that you know that you know that your mind is spiritual and you walking with God before you start running around cutting the food. Because you're in an arena that's spiritual now. And when you do something, it reverts and comes back to you. You can't afford to do and say anything over here. Spiritual laws take over here. Folks don't even know what they're dealing with down here. You're in a dangerous environment if you're just cutting the food and taking it lightly. That's why I tell people, get in your Bible for you. I'm not telling anybody in this church to follow me. I'm telling you, get in your Bible for yourself. Don't agree with me. You don't have to even like me. You don't even have to never talk to me again. But get in your Bible for yourself that you can secure your own salvation. No, I'm not going to draw myself in nobody's mess. If it's mess, I'm going to tell you, that's a bunch of mess. And I ain't going to be a part of it. Get in your Bible until you get right. And let God lead you into by the Spirit and in the truth. Don't try to hogwash it up and fix it up and rig it up to like you want it, because it's going to crumble. And we had too many people go out of here, out of this church, rigging something up, now they're miserable. Go out there and tell people. I told one girl, I said, look, you're going to go out there and marry this dude. You're going to be messed up. Your kid's going to be. Went out there, now miserable. You know, I should have listened. Tell the guy, you better be home at 11 o'clock. He said, okay. He come home at 11 o'clock. A.M. Well, you said 11 o'clock, didn't you? I'm on time, too. It's 2 minutes to you. That's the kind of hell you set yourself up for when you set up the mess. You rig it up. And then talk about the law. You know, the Lord, L-A-U-D, the Lord. Now, see, you're going to be out there, man, kidding yourself with a carnal mind. Get your mind transformed. Don't fool around with it, trying to think you know what you don't know when your mind is not transformed. And you know you're just as crazy. You're always being talking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Get your mind really transformed, and the sign that's going to rest on you is perfect peace. What does the Spirit of God do to you through the Word of God when He's transformed your mind? It's a simple word that describes the whole thing. When you're out of the will of God and sinning and rebellious, it disharmonizes your inner man. In other words, you got a spirit, upside down soul, and a body. So that tells you, you got a spirit perverging in the middle with a body. So you in disharmony. You got to be in confusion, not knowing what to do. And that's why a person in the soulless arena, what they'll always do is this. I'm disharmonized, right, and I'm doing something. I know I'm in disharmony, I'm confused. What's the first thing I'm going to do? Find somebody else. Because I'm scared, because I know I ain't right. I'm in disharmony. But when you're in peace, guess what? You don't care who with you. Because what? I'm in harmony. I'm harmonized. That's when people come to me and tell me stuff and they begin to throw my mind into conniptions. I said, no, you're disharmonizing me, man. My mind is at peace, my soul's at rest, and you begin to disharmonize me. God is not the author of confusion. If you find yourself beginning to disharmonize and your mind begin to get worried and anxiety stricken and all this stuff begin to come into you, that's the devil, buddy. That is the devil. The Bible said the word of God is easily entreated. If your mind is being transformed, you're becoming spiritual, you walk in harmony in the inner man. Spirit upright, soul upright, body upright. Harmony. Peace. But man, when you got that perversion in the middle of you, you run around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to find somebody to give an identity and to pack around you to make you feel like, man, I feel secure now. How they fuck around me? I'm right. I told y'all I was right. See that? And see, people think that something get big is right. I can twist my ankle tonight, it'll swell up twice the size. It ain't getting better. Infection setting in. A lot of people get big and swell up because it's infected, not because they're getting better. The devil will trick you as long as your mind is soulish. I'm telling you that we're right here, right now. Folks are coming out of the woodwork with a lot of crazy mess. I never, ever try to make myself right. I just tell them, look, if you right, but just go to God. You know, if I miss anything, all you got to do is just step around me, go to God, get the power, go out and preach it. Especially men come to me with all this junk. I said, if you got it all figured out, you a man, you know, respect the person, right? Bypass me, get the power, go out there and preach the gospel. In a few months, if I see you out there glorified and glowing in the dark, I'm going to have to come with you because you got it. What's the big deal? Why feel anything toward me or about me at all? A Velva, or Crystal, or Rochelle. Just go and get endowed with power from on high. Oblivious to whoever else goes or thinks anything about it. I'm telling y'all, I keep telling you over and over and over again, it ain't like we think. You get lost out here in this mess, you have hell to pay to get back. Because God has spent too much time telling folks too many things just to walk over it like it ain't so. What I teach, and I don't say this proudly, but you won't find this in 90% of the churches out here. Because basically the preacher don't know. You're going to talk about an upside down kingdom and a perverted soul. And they're going to say, get this crazy Negro out of here. But if you just take a step back and look at it every day, you're going to be looking right at an upside down world and perverted souls. Just look around sometime and look at it. And the devil is empowered down here from keeping that matriarchal system empowered so that people want the strokes of a mom and not the discipline of a dad. I'm telling you, anybody you see that succumbs to that old stroking of that feminine nature, get as far away from them as the East is from the West, because they're leading you into a Jezebelian damnable place. It's the place of witchcraft, sorcery, and control. I'm telling you, a patriarch like God didn't have to make anybody do what he says. Why? Because he's complete all by himself. If God never had one person around him, God is still whole and complete all by himself. He doesn't need anybody, but he loves everybody. That's why he can send 8 billion people to hell and still stay the same. Because people can't add anything to God or take anything away from him. That's the way you'll be when you're complete. I know you for 5 years. You're moving to Boston. I see you around. People are at the airport crying. I just can't believe you're leaving. Now, it ain't all that to you. That one person told me it was a funeral. Some girl just standing over the grave, but hugged my dad. And everybody grabbed her. No, Donna, no. Somebody grab her. No, Donna, no. Somebody restrain her. She's going to jump in there. No. Somebody back, her uncle, somebody say, oh, let her go. He said, let her go and watch her come to herself. See, all that stuff be a bunch of junk, man. Another person crying at the funeral. Billy, who gonna hold me at night? Who gonna hold me at night? Somebody said, you find another nigga, man. Somebody be holding you there week. But see, man, you know, they use great plainness of speech, you know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. People go through all this stuff. If you get your mind to think real plain, you see what I'm saying? You keep your mind real plain, boy, you'll be free. If you stop thinking all these old deep thoughts, looking at something to try to make it all deep, getting all glazed over, and I fear that the Lord, what he'd have us to do. See, the Lord wants us. That's that matriarchal thing right there. I want people to say, look, why don't you stop cutting the food? See, there ain't no love right there. You see how crazy it is. But somebody come to you. You know, the Lord would have me tell you that the Lord, you know, the Lord got a plan for you. And the Lord has shown me in a dream that people say, oh, yeah, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. How come, you know, the Lord told me to tell you, if you do this crazy mess, you going to hell. See, there ain't no love right there. See what I'm saying? All you got to do is study the apostles, study Acts, study the Old Testament, study those prophets. No prophet didn't come to nobody talking about, thus saith the Lord. You know, that high-pitched voice with a lot of trouble in it. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord would have you to know, David, that you did this to Bathsheba, but the Lord forgiveth thee. The Lord is casting your sin as far away from you as east is from the west, and thou shalt prosper. And so whatever thou may doest, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You hear that? So David, the man is you. The sword will never depart from your house. And another thing, your boy will be dead by this time tomorrow, sundown. But what do you do? Sackcloth and ashes. The boy dies. See, after the boy dies, he said, look, I got up and ate. So, Dave, you don't feel bad about it. I said, look, I can't go to him. He can't come to me, but I'll go to him. Them guy lived under discipline. Ezekiel, take your wife with a stroke. Don't say a word, don't cry, don't say nothing to me about it. Get up tomorrow morning, prophesy. Next verses, next morning my wife died. The next morning God rose, I did prophesy. The problem with us, we're trying to feel something. I ain't feeling nothing. Like I said, I go visit a church. I open up a Bible. I overload. They're going to be, what in the world is this? I can't believe Jesus. Oh, you can be like, hey. I'm like, what's the problem? Preacher back there just. Yeah, dude. I'll tell you another thing, too. Some of y'all in here, you know what I mean? See, if you go out there scary, don't you go out there with, they go, are you a part of that church? Well, no, I don't really. I don't know. Your little boy, I want your teacher to be like, where you get that from? Why? Because it's going to get like that. It's going to get where, hey, if you identify with it. Hey, Dirty Peter said, aren't you one of his? Like, look, I don't know nothing about it. Why people, look, I'm serious with you. Though. You want my people bail out of here? They don't want to be identified with this. Because it's going to cost. So let me get, look. I'm getting out of here because, see, this ain't no love. This ain't whatever you say it is, because this thing right here, if he keep talking like this, they going to come lock somebody up. And when they come and lock somebody, I ain't going to be sitting up in my family and getting hauled off to jail. What's the love? Love of self. Tell people, is it true? Well, it's true, but. No, don't but. If it's the truth, just walk in it. It'll change you. After a while, you know, after you get through with all that wrestling around, after a while, it'll be like, hey, well, I go. You know, it'll get easy to you. Then you get relaxed in it. And then that thing, you know, you'll be telling somebody the same thing. And you won't feel nothing about it. But as long as you conscious of your environment and what people think about you, you can't represent God. Because you're still trying to massage them to make it right for them. People run games on people. Ain't y'all been alive long enough to know that? Like I tell you, they be like, this too hard. All right, how many boys you done had? Six. When you on crack for 3 years? Yeah. How the fuck have you cussed out in your life? I mean, that number too high for me to even count to. I mean, you done stole, right? Yeah. Didn't you rape a girl when you were 17? Yes.
you know, somebody said you tried to kill a guy one day. Yeah, I did. I jumped on him. I almost beat him to within an inch of his life. Yeah. But what being preached to you, that's too hard for you? Start thinking. How this too hard for somebody and all the hell you've done and now this too hard for me? You just lying to yourself. You trying to whip a game. You trying to whip a game on God. You can do all this damnable, hellacious stuff with the devil, and then God says something to you straight, and you no. You got to look at them. Now, that person, God show you something. He said, look, God telling me you fornicating.
Oh, no.
Hold. You weren't doing that when you were fornicating. You went out there fornicating. You did the big and bold and bad, didn't you? Why are you doing all that now? You fornicating, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Now, that's why they're sobbing. See, get out there sobbing at you, boy. You weren't sobbing like that now when you fornicating, were you? Why are you doing all that sobbing now? People whip a game on you. And when you ain't over the game, they don't like you because you ain't in the game with me. A lot of people call you, tell you all the problem. They're whipping a game. You know what they're doing spiritually? They're bringing you into their world of problems and binding you. Now you send them, then you got an attitude about their husband or their uncle or whoever they're talking about because they just brought you into their world. They whipped the game on you. But when you start talking about their mess with them, guess what? They walk around you kind of funny. Because they know, they ain't studying my mess no more. You just freed yourself and dropped off a drag off of you. That's what you dropped off. Walk on in freedom. Listen to all these old crazy problems. Most of this stuff ain't nothing but a bunch of junk. People in the mess they in because they want to be. So leave them in the mess. You were you born knowing them or something? If I'm in a mess, leave me in the mess. You could be up the street somewhere drinking a glass of Kool-Aid under a shade tree. And you are thinking about my mess. You crazy. I'm serious. Don't let other people put their mess on you. When your mind could be your perfect piece at home alone, why would you get drugged to somebody else's house or on the phone? Then you hanging the phone thinking, I can't believe how his wife is doing him. You know, that's a crying shame. And here you on the phone. You know what I heard? You out here in somebody else's household, their mess. Well, you could have just left them over there with that mess because that's what they want anyway. Leave them with it, man. Good night. I don't know why folk can't be free. Get your mind transformed. Stop letting it be conformed. Stop letting the crazy folk that ain't going nowhere in life. Get with God and go for yourself. Simple. Father, thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for what the God's going to say about soul. I will commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ah, yeah.